It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and airing around the world at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Thank you, New York, for the great listenership that we have here on the show. Nielsen Ratings has us consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio at 10 p.m., and we thank you for that. Tonight's edition is the Year in Review. Even though every single episode had great insights into the world of business, we picked from 18 particular episodes, and we had the team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, and again, a special thank you to the team, Pesach Trapper, Srilly, Miriam, Dina, Rina, really a fantastic team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group that plays a very important support role week in and week out, and a special thank you to them. Also, a special thank you to the great team here at WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. Thank you. And I also must mention and thank the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, select episodes have been featured inside Mishpacha Magazine. Thank you. C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio. We have a robust YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and you type in Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, you'll see nearly 50 videos, each one containing deep insights into the world of business. It's free, all on YouTube. We have an iTunes channel, so podcast. Every single episode is available on podcast. Audio Boom, Player.fm. And of course, on the dedicated website for this show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com, you will find every single episode that we've had as we now enter our fourth calendar year. Amazing. We started in 2015, and we are now entering the show, is entering 2018. Really, really special. And of course, we look forward to providing you with even greater content in the year ahead. So we are actually going to jump in with tonight's show. We're going to open with the interview that I had earlier this year with John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. Let's give a listen.
I went on to Brown University, and then I went on to Wharton Business School and got my MBA. I did something that most people probably wouldn't do with their MBA. I became a truck driver, and I went to work for Pepsi as their first MBA. They didn't know what to do with me, so they put me out on a Pepsi route truck in Pittsburgh, and I trained there for 3 months, and then they sent me out to Phoenix, Arizona, and then they sent me to Las Vegas, and they sent me to Milwaukee and so forth. So I learned the business by getting my hands dirty, and I still believe that's the best way to learn a business is to learn it right from the bottom on up, so you understand how things work. You can't improve them unless you understand what you're improving from. And I got a lucky break when I was given the assignment. I now returned to headquarters, was in charge of market research for Pepsi. And I was given the assignment when Cyclamens were banned and they needed to come out with a replacement using saccharin for Diet Pepsi. Mm-hmm. And I had to go on the Walter Cronkite TV show and do a live interview because no one else more senior.
And I couldn't resist the opportunity. I was talking with John Sculley. I mean, he was the CEO at Apple. And he had a great story about how he was hired and lured from Pepsi to join Apple. And, of course, it was done by Steve Jobs. Let's give a listen.
Well, Steve Jobs was then in his 20s. He was about 26 years old. Okay. The board was not prepared to make him CEO of the company. Steve was always brilliant, but he wasn't a seasoned executive back in those early days. But they gave him, as the largest shareholder, as the chairman of the board, as the head of the new Macintosh group that was developing this new product that was going to come out in a couple of years, they gave him the veto right on whoever the board did want to recruit to become the CEO of Apple. Mm-hmm. And the result was they went through over 20 different candidates, you know, logical ones, you know, out of the high-tech industry, and Steve turned them all down. So David Rockefeller, who was one of the largest shareholders in Apple back in those early days, said, well, let's try a different industry in a different part of the country than Silicon Valley. And they went to Jerry Roach, who was then the most admired executive recruiter, and he suggested my name. And so Steve and I met back in 1982. We spent 5 months, Yitzhak, getting to know each other. Every weekend, I'd either be in California with Steve or he'd be back in New York with me. And we finally got up to about March of 1983. And after spending a whole day together on a Sunday, I had taken Steve over to the Museum of Metropolitan Museum of Art to show him things that I knew he didn't know, to see how he receptive he'd be to new ideas. And he took me to his the Towered Record Store to hear his favorite music. And then we ended up on the terrace of this new apartment that Steve had just bought at the San Remo Towers, which he later sold to Bono. And so we're standing up there on the terrace of this triplex apartments, and we're looking out over the Hudson River, and I turned to Steve as the sun's starting to set, and I said, Steve, I'm sorry, but I'm not coming to Apple. I'll be your advisor. I'll do it for free, but I'm not coming.
After those months of rendezvous.
And, well, you know, I started to think, I said, you know, I'm not a high-tech guy. I've never worked in a startup environment like Apple. And, you know, I'm not an engineer. So why would they want, why would anybody respect me if I, you know, went out to Apple? So Steve, and he had this amazing ability to, because he did this time and time again throughout his life. He paused. He looked down at his running shoes. He had blue jeans on and a black turtleneck sweater, even back in those days when he was in his 20s. And he looked up at me, and he had these very, very dark eyes and jet black hair. And he looked at me and stared at me for a few seconds. And he said, do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world? And it just knocked the wind out of me. I didn't give a different answer, but 5 days later, I was a new employee at Apple. Just shows you how charismatic and compelling Steve was to find exactly the right words at exactly the right moment to get somebody to do something he wanted them to.
You know, I have to mention that I love when I get feedback from the street, and I get calls all the time and stopped on the street or emails. And that line by John Sculley, the one, are you going to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or are you going to come with me and change the world? What a great line shared right here on Mind Your Business by John Sculley. We're now going to move to the interview that I had with the founders and the joint CEOs, the co-CEOs of Warby Parker. That's Dave Gilboa and Neil Blumenthal. Now, again, you're back at Wharton. I mean, are there any tips for someone that has a dream? How did they come up with the capital? I mean, it's great. You had this idea, you had the moment, but any advice on that? How someone could, like, just, wow, okay, but now the funding.
Yeah, well, I think when Dave, Jeff, Andy, and I were thinking about this idea, right, there's this preconceived notion of entrepreneurs that they have the light bulb go off, and then tomorrow they drop everything that they're doing. They drop out of school, they quit their job, and they invest all their life savings into the business. And I'll tell you, that's not what we did. And we actually think that's probably a bad idea, even though it's glorified so much. We did have the light bulbs go off, and it was super exciting. But what we started to do is spend a lot of time thinking about what's the current customer experience for buying glasses. We went into optical shops. We surveyed our friends, and we started to build a business plan. We worked on the business for a year and a half before we actually launched. By spending that time to develop the brand architecture, to figure out our financial model, to figure out our business strategy, what we were going to price the glasses at, that enabled us to really figure out what we were going to spend money on. And when you're starting a business, you want to invest as little time and capital into the idea before you get feedback. And we finally, after working on this, had enough conviction that it was time to try and sell glasses online. And what were the three things that we needed to do that? It was glasses. So we designed a collection and we produced them. So we had our inventory. We had we had to sell those glasses through some medium. So we built a website and we had to let people know that we existed. So we hired a PR firm to work with us to help promote Warby Parker. And we were able to start Warby Parker with $120,000. And it was our own money, money that we had saved while working before we went to Wharton.
And by the way, that episode was featured in Mishpacha magazine. If you want to find it, you can easily locate it by going to MYB Radio and then scroll down, look at the guests, Neil Blumenthal and Dave Gilboa. And if you click on that episode, you will see the feature that was done in Mishpacha magazine as well. It was called Take Five, the five takeaways, really great insights. We now move to the interview I had with Melissa Powell. She is the COO of the Allure Group. And I spoke with her about the environment. How important is it to have a good, fun environment, a place where people want to work?
Cuisine here. And really make it special for them. And we were able to, during those initial years, renovate the building and really make it a beautiful home-like, but really honestly hotel-like experience when you're here. So,
and then some of the other facilities.
Sure. So we have Bedford Center, which is in Williamsburg, which caters to the Orthodox population that lives out in Williamsburg.
Right.
And we did extensive renovations there, and that facility was real special when we started because it was where we started our cardiac program. We were in the very, very early days. We worked with NYU to really bring a need to Brooklyn that didn't exist at the time, which was taking patients that were having, you know, heart surgery, open heart surgery, stents, things like that, and being able to then bring them to rehab close to home in Brooklyn. And under their guidance, we went to NYU, my staff, and we received education and we implemented all of the tools and the equipment that they had there. And we were able to really bring a new service to the I'll say the people of Williamsburg, but really the people of Brooklyn. Right. We've watched us bring census into that building, patients into that building that have really, you know, come. They say what you build it, they will come.
That's right.
And that's really what's happened there.
Thank you, Melissa, for that insight. By the way, you see how environment, how the ambiance of a building makes such a difference. You know, people might think, well, okay, it's as long as we provide a service. No, everything adds. It's all part of that magic word, branding. It's all part of branding. We now move to the interview I had with Maury Litwack. He is the executive director of the Teach Advocacy Network. He has a storied background, even as a young guy, and accomplished a great deal, but he spent quite a bit of time in Washington, and we had a good discussion about the importance of saying thank you and maintaining a relationship. Let's give a listen. How important is it sometimes to send a good old-fashioned letter by mail?
Oh, I think it's beyond important. It's just not done.
Stands out even more because so few people do it.
Yeah, it's a lost art. I also think the art of saying thank you is lost. I think the art of saying is something we were taught as children, and that's just completely lost. We deal with that all the time. We say thank you. And I can't tell you how, you know, the difference between just saying thank you, even on small acts, and ignoring that in terms of maintaining a relationship and continuing a relationship are monumental. You have to thank people. So these are a letter is a form of a thank you. It means you took the time to write it and say thank you.
Now, we're honored here at Bottom Line Marketing Group to work very closely with Maury on his various initiatives. So we also had the opportunity to talk about new and old media working simultaneously.
there's just not enough of coupling the basics of a relationship with new media. So you gotta, it's not enough. And you can't say I emailed someone, it's done. I texted them. I tweeted at them. I tagged them on Facebook.
Right.
Did you call them? Right. Did you, when was the last time you had lunch with them?
Letter.
Did you write a letter? Did you do that? And coupling, do it together.
Great advice. We now move to the interview I had with Tom Cortese, co-founder and COO of Peloton, and we discussed about how to stay above the fray in a flooded field and to really engage with the client, meaning to have a great user experience. Let's give a listen.
What advice could you give really to any business to stay above the fray in any flooded field?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I return to similar themes all the time, and on this one, I return back to our customer and our unending quest to have a perfect customer experience, a perfect user experience, and to the extent that that's what we focus on every single day, and we ensure that our entire company is aligned around making sure that every member, customer, user, whatever you want to, whatever the right term is for you and your business, making sure that you are working for them every day, that you wake up every day to make a better experience for them, I've got to believe that if that's in your blood, if that's in your business, then you will naturally stand out because that's what we're doing, right? Consumers are looking to put their dollars in places where they get some return.
Every guest was an experience, and the interview I had with Jerry Robert was no different. The president of Blackheart Books, Jerry Robert.
How would having a book open new media doors for an author?
Yeah, well, just think about this. So let's envision a small newspaper in a community. There's community newspapers.
Sure.
They decide that they want to have a health article, a column.
Mm-hmm.
So they could approach somebody in their district, in their area, in their neighborhood. You know, maybe one person's been a chiropractor for 30 years. Another person is a chiropractor for 6 months. But is an author.
Oh my!
Who do you think is going to get the column?
It's no question. Unfair,
so we have people every single week because we do hundreds of these seminars all around the world every year. We get people who've never done anything of note, never have achieved very much, get radio and TV all the time, and sometimes. Not always, but nationally. We've had teachers who retired teachers. One lady from Norwalk, Connecticut, wrote a book called Stop Singing the Blues. She's a motivational speaker and life coach. Never did anything dramatic. Well, we got her into Time magazine because Time magazine was doing an article on women in transition.
Amazing.
As the author of an upcoming Amazing. Book. And it doesn't even have to be the published book. Just announcing that you're the author of an upcoming book gets you publicity. We get it every single week.
Now, speaking about books, our giveaway this week, I mean, we got it, you know, almost every week we have a giveaway, and this is the new book by Shep Hyken. I'm holding it in my hands. Shep Hyken is a New York Times and a Wall Street Journal best-selling author. I have a copy. It's a hardcover edition. It's signed by the author. It actually says Be Amazing. The name of the book is Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone. Now, by the way, Shep Hyken was selected. There was an article just the other day on Huffington Post about the 10 best speakers to hire for your organization coming up in 2018. Shep Hyken is on that list, the top 10. So you can imagine how special this book is. Great new book that's just out. It's going to go to one lucky listener. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, MYB for Mind Your Business. Send it over to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win this brand new book, Be Amazing or Go Home by Shep Hyken. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. Again, this is completing our third calendar year. I mean, we started mid-July, we started mid-2015, but we are entering our fourth calendar year, 2018, doing this show. It's an honor. It's exciting. Every episode is packed with value. It's engaging. And I really thank the listeners because it shows on the Nielsen ratings. Nielsen is the ratings for this industry. And consistently, this show is rated in the top 10. We even came as high as number 3 one month. So very, very special thank you to you. And tonight's show is really a thank you in return. We went through, and the team here, the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, went through hours of material and found really the top tips from the year. Now, there were some episodes that didn't make it onto this. We don't have a clip from that episode simply because there was no time to do it. It's not because it was no value in it. There were so many great, every single show was packed with great value. But we did pick 18 particular guests and have specific tidbits that we wanted to share with the listeners. We're now going to go to the interview that I had with Adam Levin. Adam Levin is a cybersecurity expert and chairman of CyberScout. And we talked with him. I mean, it does pay to listen to that entire interview, and you can access it by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. But we talked about the need within a company to train your team to be very careful because of all the hacking, unfortunately, that goes on out there. Let's give a listen.
A system is only as secure as its weakest link. And unfortunately, we humans have proven that we are the weakest link. And as a business, as a defender, you've got to get everything right. For someone to crawl into your system, all they need is one moment of mistake. One configuration error, one employee clicking on the wrong link, somebody leaving a port open in a computer, any one of those things, and the bad guys can get in. And the malware is so sophisticated, you may not know that someone's in your system for months, in some cases, a year or two. So you need to train your employees to be on the lookout for phishing attacks, to be very careful when they hook into your systems, to use virtual private networks, or don't, you know, beware of public Wi-Fi. Mm. That can come back to haunt you. Wow. When you hire a vendor, mm-hmm. we're in an era now where, as far as class action lawsuit attorneys are concerned and regulators, your vendors are your employees. If they mess up, it could clearly come back to you. So make sure that they have the same kind of security protocols you do. Also, as I mentioned, if you have Internet of Things devices in your offices, which everyone does, from the printer to the camera in their computer, mm-hmm. To the copy machine to the coffee pot, if you can change a password, change it.
We now go to the episode that I had with Ira Zlotowicz, president of Eastern Union Funding. He's one of the very few that we've actually had on more than once. We had him twice as a guest here on Mind Your Business. Each show was packed with credible information. He's someone that needs very little introduction into the real estate world. We're going to give a listen. Ira Zlotowicz.
When they say it's not a good deal, quote unquote, it's compared to other deals. Like, when I hear someone say it's not a good deal, and I do my research, I go back to the person and say, what did he mean it's not a good deal? He goes, I didn't say it's not a good deal, but the deal's only throwing off X percent. I have 9 other deals on my table that are better than that. Now, take the flip side. I meet someone who told me he doesn't want to invest because someone told him it's not a good deal. I said, do you have any other deals on the table now? No. Or what else do you have on the table? His return is less. I said, it's just a matter of where your starting point is. So, I tell people when I give a real estate course, I say the first thing you have to decide as a real estate investor, as an investor, is how much money do you have to invest and risk and lose, you know, okay. Number one. And number two is what return do you need to make? And you're going to find, if you did a survey of your friends, the next time you're talking to friends, just as an example, mm-hmm. what return do they consider to be a good return? They can give you different numbers. So if your friend needs a 10% return and you need 6, when a deal comes up that says 8% return, your friend is going to tell everyone, not a good deal. For you, it's the greatest deal in the world. You're accustomed.
Ira Zlotowicz certainly knows a thing or two about making great deals. I believe that the Eastern Union has broken their record again of $3 billion in transactions for 2017. As we say here, mazel tov. We now move to the interview I had with Greg Chalker, head of emerging channels for Capital One Spark Business Card. Greg Chalker.
For whatever reason, at a young age, yeah. I was very interested in learning how to manage money. And I just knew at that young age that it would be an important skill for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't totally remember why. I just remember, you know, that was the case. And I'll just tell you a bit about my journey. Sure. And hopefully that's helpful to your listeners. Sure. I would say that it boils down to two things. I'd start with just seeking the wisdom of others. For me personally, I learned a lot by watching my dad and, you know, watching him manage his money. And I would try to ask him questions as I saw him make a decision and why he made that decision. And, hey, Dad, what is buying a house like? And why would you buy a house versus, you know, rent something or things like that? So I would ask him questions. I would also, any friends or colleagues over the years, that as I've grown into my career, you know, any of those guys that I felt like had some success, I wanted to get a sense for what they felt like they had done. So I would pick their brains and ask them questions. So I've picked up a lot of things from my network. And so the first thing I would do is encourage people to just actively seek out their network. For example, for the small business owners in your listenership, they all have accountants, most likely, and you mentioned that they're not necessarily involved in that day-to-day. They want to make their pizzas or they want to run their business. But I would just say that as you work with your accountant, ask her what she's why she's making the choices she's making or why she's recommending what she is to you. Try to understand what she's you know, what's driving her decision making on behalf of your business. So again, the first is to seek the wisdom of your network. The second thing, and I was a bit self-taught in this financial literacy, I got my hands on as many tools as I could. So I read books, even in high school and certainly in college. I took as many finance and accounting and economics electives as I could. I just actively sought to learn more about this this discipline of knowing how money works and knowing how to manage your money.
You know, it's amazing. The smartest people are the ones that learn from others. And you see how someone here like Greg Chalker, a very successful person, but his key to success was the fact that he always seeked out advice from others. Before we take a commercial break, I want to remind the listeners about the offer this evening. The book that we're giving away is the new book by Shep Hyken, Be Amazing or Go Home. 7 customer service habits that create confidence with everyone. All you have to do is text over MYB for Mind Your Business. Send it to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win this new book. I mean, Shep Hyken, you speak about Shep. He was selected on this new list that came out from Huffington Post of the 10 best public speakers for 2018. Shep Hyken is on that list. a pretty amazing individual, and his book is Be Amazing or Go Home. Again, one lucky listener is going to get it. All you have to do is text over MYB, that's for Mind Your Business, M as in mind, MYB, send it over to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to win it. Good luck.
Who's coordinating that fundraiser? Yes, hold on one second. Did anyone follow up with that donor?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Back, this special edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. It's the year in review. We've had so many great guests. I mean, going back to the beginning of this show, mid-2015, there are, what was it, roughly 120, 125 episodes that have been, they're all posted, by the way. I get feedback all the time from people that listen to the podcast. They listen in the car, they listen on the train. I appreciate, by the way, when people call me, stop me, I really do appreciate the feedback, and it helps me improve my game, as they say. I want to remind the listeners, our giveaway this evening is the new book by Shep Hyken, Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone. One lucky listener is going to win it. By the way, it's an autographed hardcover copy. Let me open it up here. Be Amazing, Shep Hyken. Wow. This is expensive. It's worth a lot more than, I mean, this probably costs around $29. If you read it, it's worth, what should I tell you? It's worth a lot of money, thousands, millions. Because if you listen to these rules by Shep Hyken, who's the master at customer service, you definitely will be able to better your game and grow your business. All you have to do is send over the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Text it over to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to win this book. Again, you want to win Be Amazing or Go Home, free copy, autographed hardcover copy. All you have to do is send over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win it. Good luck. Well, now we continue with our special edition. And the guest that we're going to feature now is Ray Hennessy, the Chief Innovation Officer at Jay Connolly, and I had a chance to talk with him. I mean, this year there were many PR nightmares, you know, on airlines and other businesses, and he is a guru at this. I mean, he's the Chief Innovation Officer at Jay Connolly. Let's give a listen. Ray Hennessy.
Sometimes we're so siloed in our own businesses that we don't get even different perspective from the people we sit around who may be able to bring things. So I always tell people, like, you know, when I tell you need another set of eyes on something that isn't self-serving because my firm is another set of eyes, I tell you that because there are other sets of eyes within your own building that you can put in a room and say, what's your reaction if we did this? What's your reaction if we did that? And then I think the second thing is, you in a modern media digital world, you have to act swiftly. There's no reason to not know that an incident occurs. Like with United, they should have known internally that was happening. And then your response should be just as swift because you don't want to lose the narrative. You don't want to lose the string. You don't want to lose the story. And in the case of United, it did pretty quickly. And you find that. You find a lot of companies think that they're doing right. And I tell people over and over and over again, just because you think that you did the right thing doesn't necessarily mean that you did the right thing. And you could have done everything that you think is so-called right and still had a bad outcome. It's that old cliche about the operation was a success, but the patient died. You have to understand that you have to look for outcome, right? And we don't look for outcome. We look for process and we look for checking boxes. But if the outcome is wrong, then all those boxes that you checked off were the wrong boxes to check off.
My next guest that we're featuring on this show is Sam Walker. He's the Deputy Enterprise Editor at the Wall Street Journal. Well, the reason why we wanted him,
He had just come out with his brand new book, The Captain Class, and he talked about the qualities of great captains. And from his experience, he's been covering sports for the Wall Street Journal for, I think he actually founded it, that section in the Wall Street Journal. It was a very special treat. Let's give a listen. Sam Walker.
The things that were really amazing that I never expected. Okay, there's several of them, but one of them is speeches. Okay, you think about a captain, the way that someone motivates a team. Right. And it's not just in sports, it's in any discipline. You give a speech. You give a big inspirational speech.
Right.
But what I discovered was these captains, not one of them liked giving speeches. In fact, some of them never did address the group. They had a different style of communication. It wasn't that they were quiet. Mm-hmm. It was that they preferred to talk to their teammates individually and very intensely in short bursts. And they would circulate widely and democratically around the team. It was a different kind of conversation designed to get the whole group talking. And the best examples of this are incredible to me. Yogi Berra.
Right.
Do you think of Yogi Berra as a great communicator? I mean, most
no,
people
I mean, of course, no. We remember his quotes, but
right, but he didn't seem charismatic, no. Right? And Tim Duncan of the San Antonio Spurs is another great example of someone like this. So that really surprised me that this kind of communication that was really effective was different. And there's some others, but one other thing that I thought I really want to point out was that they were not angels, which really surprised me. I kept finding all these examples of really unsportsmanlike, ugly things they did in competition. And by the same token, they never hesitated to create conflict on the team, to stand up to management, to the coach, to their own team if they thought something was not helping the team win. So they created a lot of problems, and they some of them had bad reputations publicly. The thing is, they didn't care, first of all, because they wanted to win, and everything was about winning. But the other thing that was interesting is they're different from other athletes that created problems, because at home, they were homebodies. They really were. I mean, most of them were introverts. They didn't want attention. They weren't celebrities. They didn't really do endorsements. They didn't want that kind of accolades and that kind of affirmation from the world. So never got in trouble, incredibly law-abiding, like perfect citizens off the field. On the field, anything goes. They would break any rule in order to win if they thought they could get away with it.
Sam Walker of the Wall Street Journal. We now move to the interview that I had with Keith Maestrich, CEO of Amalgamated Bank. Let's give a listen. You have a lot of experience in the financial sector and in philanthropy. How has your prior work helped you for your position now as a CEO and president of Amalgamated?
So Amalgamated is a bank that really serves a unique niche. We serve the thousands and thousands of labor unions across the country, the advocacy groups, the nonprofit organizations, philanthropies, social enterprises, a real specific niche that no other bank focuses and concentrates on. And while we have some specialized products and services that we offer to people that speak to that community, what we really have is we have bankers who've come out of that community that understand the unique financial needs that our customers face. The financial needs of a human needs delivery organization or a labor union or a political campaign are really quite different than a hospital or a small business or a convenience store or another financial corporation. It's a different mentality. It's a different bottom line, if you will. And our ability to have lived in that world and truly understand how the finances are constructed from the bottom up, I think, gives us a real advantage over other banks.
It's so special when you meet a business that knows its clientele and kind of lives and breathes it, as opposed to just, okay, we'll take on anyone that knocks on our doors. Oh, I'm sure you're open for anyone that knocks on the door. I don't want to take that away. But those that you service know that it's in your blood. It's your passion.
It's really true. A good example that we look to and try and model ourselves after a lot of times is the company USAA. A lot of people know that USAA is a bank and an insurance company that really focuses on former service members and their family. They understand the unique needs that clientele has. That's what we do with our clientele as well. And it really makes a difference, and it's a good business plan, right. And it means that we have a real future.
We now move to the interview that I had with Jay Buxbaum, Executive Vice President of Marketing
at Royal Wine Corporation. Let's give a listen. Jay Buxbaum.
Nathan Herzog, to his great credit, I'm thinking about 5, 6, maybe even 7 or 8 years ago, it used to be that Jay would come with a bottle of wine and he would say, guys, we have to have this wine. It's delicious. And a couple of the Herzogs would taste it and they would say, yeah, let's do it. You know, or Nathan or Mutti or David Herzog Shmuley would come and say, I taste this wine in Israel. Call them immediately. We got to bring it in, you know, and we would. And then what would happen is that the salespeople and the management, and this is a very important thing from a marketing point of view, would say, guys, are you nuts? Why did you bring this wine? And it sometimes wouldn't do as well as we would like it to. And that's because we didn't have the buy-in, so to speak. We didn't have the imprimatur of the sales staff and the marketing staff. So Nathan, to his great credit, so many years ago, instituted a tasting panel that we do every 2 to 4 weeks, depending on how many new wines we have. We taste it around the panel. And unless the overwhelming majority agree that two things, number one and foremost, the wine is good and it's really excellent. And number two, it even if it's excellent, if it's out of the park in terms of its price ratio, then we won't bring it in either. So it has to qualify under those two criteria for the whole group. And the group includes the sales managers, some salespeople, sometimes store owners, so that we get their point of view. Sometimes restaurateurs, wine critics. We've had wine writers.
Sometimes twice a month.
Yeah, yeah. We have it. We do it. Aggressive. You cannot believe how many kosher wines are being made around the world.
We now move to politics. We're going to have a snippet here from the interview that I had with John McLaughlin, CEO of McLaughlin & Associates. He was one of the pollsters on the Trump campaign. He's a leading pollster in the primarily covering the Republican Party for decades. He's someone that really knows how to call elections and actually has a very big part of his business focuses on polling data for corporations. Let's give a listen.
I mean, the name of the game in politics is you have to get 50% or better usually. Yeah. So it's pretty tough. You know, it's usually almost you win the election or you don't win the election.
Right.
And businesses, it's about trying to improve market share and it's trying to get information. So what you do is when you take a survey, you're looking at whether it's consumer attitudes, whether you're looking at brand attitudes, you're looking at things that would actually create a win situation for you, that people will buy your product, that they will succeed. So a lot of times we take surveys and they're very in-depth, and these surveys are not published because this is really important brand strategic information. They will take the survey. They will look at the strengths and weaknesses of the product. You'll identify a market. You'll identify the key segments that would maybe your customers. You'll identify issues related to specific products, specific brands that you might want to have. You'll also look at how to allocate resources. Virtually every survey we take, we'll ask people what social media they use most. We'll ask people how they get their information, how they make their decisions, who do they consult with. And then you develop some level of progress where you'll send some benchmarks and you'll say, this is a reasonable goal for the business. And then most oftentimes they'll come back and do more surveys to see how they're moving their goals along. And for most businesses, there are very definite election days when people decide every day whether they're buying a product, when people decide every day, basically, if they're going to a business's website, if they're buying online, if they're going to this, whatever stores, et cetera, to make a decision. So, that's
on the business side.
That's on the business side.
Now with John McLaughlin, folks, every single week, we have great guests here at Mind Your Business. A really special treat to have someone of the caliber of John McLaughlin. Before we go to a commercial break, I want to remind the listeners about our giveaway this week. It's the book, Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone. It's by none other than Shep Hyken. We had him on the show once, and we hope to have him again in early 2018. This hardcover autographed copy of Be Amazing or Go Home can be yours. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is send a text
64600. That's the number. Put in the letters MYB and send it over to 64600. One lucky listener is going to get it. Good luck. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
Polling data, anyone? Hold on, we'll get right on that. Election day is Tuesday?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 77 WABC with Yitzhak Saftlis right here every single week. It's what a treat. So special. By the way, the website dedicated to this show, MYB Radio, has every single episode that ever aired for this show. It's there, mybradio.com. Many of the episodes also were video. There's a highlights video. It's there. It's free. It's almost like a virtual college, if you will. I mean, take a look at, give a listen to even this show. The wealth of information that was shared by these C-level executives is unreal. And every single episode is available for free. It's really an honor to do this. And it also feels, it feels special. I got to be honest. And I do appreciate the feedback that I get on a regular basis. We're now going to go to the interview that I had with David Mendel, the CEO of Ohel Children's Home and Family Services. Just a special mazel tov to them. They're moving to Midwood in early 2018, I believe January or February of 2018. That's a massive social services organization, a great one. They're around four decades. And to have David here in studio and speak with him on this show was a special treat. Let's give a listen. David Mendel.
We've spent a lot of time thinking about it. We've had one or two situations. So the advice that we would give to people from what we learned is, number one, you need to respond. It doesn't go away. Mm. Number two, huddle with a group of people on your board. If you have a head of communications, marketing, public relations on your staff, if you want to engage an outside company, whoever that might be, or an outside individual, right. Don't go through it alone. Do not go into a bunker mentality.
Okay.
Don't lock yourself up and think that it's all going to be okay. Right. Allow people to provide you information and support. Recognize that that alone can be a traumatic experience,
right,
with a small T, hopefully. Prepare a written response. Always respond in email. Don't get into a telephone conversation.
Great, great advice.
You're going to be misquoted, not intentionally, but that's the world of media. Very concise. Right. And prepared to deal with it.
Now, of course, David shared so much information during that entire episode. Here he was specifically talking about how to handle a PR crisis. We now move to the interview I had with Dawn Fay, district president at Robert Haft. Of course, we did talk about the famous Bob's Here commercial, but this episode is not talking about that. This is talking about that if you are joining a company, you have to give it your all. Give it 110%. Let's give it a listen. Dawn Fay.
You never know who's watching.
Who's watching.
You never know who you might meet
right.
again down the line.
That's right.
And the other advice I always give people, too, is sometimes before you just kind of shut off on the organization that you're at, make sure that you've communicated with your manager. Make sure you've tried to sort of solve for some of the issues and while you're there. Because sometimes it's as easy as a conversation with a manager about something that you have interest in or maybe something that's not working for you. And you can solve the problem and continue working and right. be really happy where you are versus changing opportunity. So I always tell people, make sure you try to fix the issue
so
first.
True.
Don't leave without telling somebody why you may not be happy there.
Dawn Fay, she certainly knows a thing or two about finding a great job and really staying happy there and working your way up the corporate chain. Dawn Fay at Robert Haft. Thank you. Another great guest that we had was the CEO of Connex, Michael Arreton. Now, some of you in the audience that are familiar with Connex, you'll say, okay, he probably spoke about toys and children. He shared so much. That's another interview that you really should listen to from the beginning to the end. And for this particular segment, we selected the part that talked about focusing on your customer needs and solving their problems. Let's give a listen. Michael Arreton. Now, Connex remains laser-focused on the consumer needs. First, if you could discuss how you do that and why is it so important for a company to always stay focused exactly on their consumer?
Sure. The only reason really any business, well, I'll say it this way, what distinguishes a business from a hobby is that a business really solves a problem for their consumers and continues to solve problems for them all the time. And so what we're focused on is what are our consumers' needs. And so our consumers are kids primarily, right. although we have educators and teachers right. and parents and grandparents. And so we have all these audiences. And so we say, okay, well, if we're going to put on a good show for each audience, what does that show look like?
Right.
And so that's why it's so important, because the only reason people give you their hard-earned money and the only reason they take the most valuable resource they have, which is their time,
right.
and use it to engage with your product is because you're giving them something that they can't get anywhere else. And so what we're giving them at Connex, and we focus on this all the time, is we're allowing them to unlock their creativity in a unique way that not only allows them to build what they hoped they would want to build, but that it will work afterwards. So that we can construct play value the whole way through, not just from the idea of what they could build, but that it'll work afterwards and there's a payoff and they can do that loop over and over and over again. So that's why we're so focused on the consumer.
Michael Arreton, the CEO of Connex. In fact, that also was featured in Mishpacha magazine in the Take 5 column. You can access it by going to MYB Radio, mybradio.com, and you just scroll down a little bit. You'll see Michael Arreton's picture and his name. It's right there. If you click on it, you'll be able to watch part of the episode. You'll be able to listen to the episode. If you like to listen to your podcast, iTunes, you could do it that way. Or if you like to read it, you could download a PDF of that Mishpacha magazine feature, the Take 5 feature, of the interview I had with Michael Arreton. Before I get to my final guest on this segment, I want to remind the listeners, our giveaway this evening is the book Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone by none other than Shep Hyken, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. All you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business, and one lucky listener is going to receive this brand-new hardcover autographed book by Shep Hyken, Be Amazing or Go Home. And for our final guest this evening, someone that we have had on the show actually 3 times because she's really that great, Christine Comerford. She's a leadership coach, and her accolades are really, you know what? She has worked with 700 of the top Fortune 1000 companies. I think that speaks for itself.
She, you know, really has so much to share. You could follow her online. She has great blog posts all the time on social media, and she did share time on Mind Your Business. Let's give a listen. Christine Comeford.
Sensory information comes into our brain stem, into our reptilian brain, if you will, travels up through our mammalian brain where emotion is attached. Mm-hmm. So we might see things. I see Yitzhak's face, mm-hmm. and then I feel good, and I say, ooh, friendly person, yay. And the meaning that I make is, here's this smiling, friendly person. I feel safe. I belong. I matter. We can also make different meaning. We can see our boss have a scowl on their face, and from that sensory information, we might feel bad or feel scared, and then we make the meaning of, gosh, he's perpetually disappointed with me. But we don't know if he's perpetually disappointed. That's just the meaning that we make. Here's the challenge. The meaning that we make then drives our identity. I am not successful. You know, our beliefs, he doesn't value me, which then affects our behavior. We behave that way. And then lather, rinse, repeat. You know, the cycle continues. So emotional agility, emotional resilience is the ability to say, huh, here's some sensory input. He looks a little scowly. What could that mean? He could have a stomach ache. I could just ask him, how are you doing today? Is there anything I can do to, you know, support and help out?
And that
out?
Could potentially dissipate the whole experience. That could have been misinterpreted.
It can shift the entire experience. Yes.
Well, this wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business, the 2017 year in review. And of course, we wish everyone a very, very successful 2018. Wow, we're out of time. This went so fast. Of course, tune in again next Sunday night, the first show in 2018, for another great edition of Mind Your Business, right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.